Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Now, turning to education and specifically the ongoing confusion over the status of 58 school bill projects that had been due for delivery this year but which are, as of now, stalled. The identity of many of those 58 schools is also still something of a mystery, but what is known is that there are a huge number of schools across every county in need of extensions and upgrades. One such school was highlighted in the Dáil earlier this week by independent TD Marion Harkin, who told the story of Lacan National School in County Leitrim, which has been waiting 30 years for an extension. The principal of that school was herself a child in third class when the extension to Lacan National School was first sought all the way back in 1993. Her name is Joanne Gilmartin, and she's been telling me about the school and its pupils.
So at the moment we have 43 pupils and an even distribution in the two classrooms, so it's what you would call a small school or a two-teacher school. And at the time of the application that we sent in, we had 47 pupils, so the roll numbers fluctuate mostly up in the past number of years. But at the moment, yes, 43 pupils.
And so we're looking at 43 pupils at the moment. We know that can fluctuate. You have two teachers for each of those classrooms, Joanne, but you obviously have other staff members who are there to help with other requirements that some of your pupils, like pupils in all schools, will have.
We currently have four teachers. We have two classrooms.
Yes.
So
currently
we have an SET, so that's called a special education teacher. And that teacher is based in our school, generally 5 days a week. And we also have an EAL teacher, which is an English as additional language teacher. And that teacher is down for 10 hours a week or two days a week. We also have two SNAs. So that's two other adults in the classrooms. And a school secretary. And the changes that came about with the reopening of schools and COVID response plans and admin, we also have what's called a principal release teacher. So one day a week, the same teacher comes into my classroom and teaches in the senior classroom. And so again, that's another adult. So it's 20% of the week, there's another adult.
And I'm trying to paint...
fully qualified teacher.
Yeah, I'm trying to paint a wee picture in my head here, Joanne, of actually the space in your school. How big are the classrooms for accommodating the teaching of those two classrooms, but also to accommodate the support staff around your teaching?
Okay, so if anyone was interested in looking up, it's called a Boyd Barrett School. So you'd all know maybe Richard Boyd Barrett, but also there was a Basil Boyd Barrett. So totally not related, but Basil Boyd Barrett made a design of schools in the 1950s. And this is one of those schools. So we have the basic two classrooms. Because the school had not had an extension, it is the original Boyd Barrett design, 30 metres squared.
So 30 metres square, about 25
COVID,
pupils, that gives them about 1 square metre of space to be sitting in and to be spending their school day.
Correct. In our case, 30 metres squared and 25 children, plus all of the adults I've already outlined, those children, and especially when it's multigrade, they are in that classroom for 4 years.
And especially when you're talking about multigrade there, Joanne, like, I mean, whatever about like having little babies in senior or junior infants, but if you've got 10, 12-year-olds and kids who are coming into their teenage years, like I'm thinking of, you know, those quite tall and long-legged, you know, those preteens.
Yes.
Like, I mean, that cannot be easy for them and where they are in their lives at the moment.
And those long legs serve them well on the football pitch. And, you know, and they're country children and they, you know, a lot of them will be very interested in farming and everything else. And they're outdoors. And then they're sitting in this classroom and all of these news, you know, all the curricular changes that are coming. You know, and I know it's all over the news about the hot meal scheme, okay, free primary school books for these children. And yet no one actually says, do you want to sit down? Physically to have no space and to be cramped up on top of another child not straightforward. The fact of the matter is that the additional accommodation scheme, it ensures that the classroom accommodation is available to cater for the number of pupils, but also for the number of teachers. So when this came to my attention, when I was newly appointed as principal in 2018, you know, I was told, well, you just put in an application for additional accommodation. And it's not really that simple.
But in fact, actually, your school has had an application in for a very, very long time. I'm guessing that you may have even yourself been a school student when that application was made. When was it initially made with the department?
So there are plans in school. The application for the extension of the classrooms is dated the 2nd of February, 1993. So we heard all of the different debates going on, and everyone has their own story. But I just said, that's 30 years ago. How can this happen that the classrooms have never been extended? 30 metres squared and all the other initiatives, library grant, hot meal scheme, and free primary school books. It doesn't make sense.
And Joanne, were you told why it wasn't going ahead?
No, so we worked on this application, but none of the people in the office are answering phones. Very rarely can I get anyone on the phone. So what's happening is there's a mail, emails forward and back. I'm a teaching principal and I work alongside my staff. I do yard duty, I liaise with the secretary. Because you're so frustrated, you feel like giving up.
Joangle Martin, principal of Lacan National School, speaking to me a little earlier. Eoin O'Riordan, the 30-year wait described by Joanne. There can't be that many schools waiting that kind of time for works to be carried out, can there?
Well, I was talking to a principal, Anthony Dugan, from Moville Community College in Donegal, who's going through a very similar situation. They were part of the motion on Wednesday about education. And in the course of that debate, we were acknowledging the minister has had successes. Okay, it would be unfair to suggest.
It's a fairly
that she
epic
hasn't.
Motion, it has to be said. But
it had everything.
School buildings
was at the top.
Seized on.
Yeah, it was at the top, and it was the main point of controversy, I suppose, because for 58 school communities, they were surprised to get these letters saying that there was no movement. And to our mind, it shows a huge lack of planning from within the department, because this should have been predictable. That there would have been an increase in the expenditure needed for the rising costs in building 58 schools, and we still don't have the list of the schools, by the way.
But are you making so, a bit of a song and dance about the list? Does it matter if Norma Foley is saying, well, we're speaking to the schools, well, we think it's more appropriate that we need to speak to them and their boards of management?
No, that's
first.
Well, we'd like to know what the schools were, but we also are a bit taken aback when individual school principals are told from the department that they should contact their TDs. And then we have the Taoiseach last week saying that all projects will resume this year. And then the Minister for Education is reluctant to use those two magic words. And then the Taoiseach can't use those two magic words again. So what we really want to impress on the Department of Education, they're not really a visionary department. I think anybody who comes in contact with the Department of Education knows that. There seems to be a kind of a turf battle going on between themselves and the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform.
But when you look at why that turf battle might be happening, mm-hmm. and Norma Foley in her response said, the Department's published National Development Plan allocation for 2023 is 860 million. Some 73% of this allocation is needed to cover expenditure on contractual commitments on the approximately 300 existing projects at construction carried forward from 2022. There's the essence
but
of the cost inflation that they were
yeah,
facing.
But it didn't increase the capital budget in last year's budgetary cycle. They didn't. So, I mean, it's all very well to trumpet 1.1 billion worth of tax cuts, but when it came to actually increasing a budget to have the vision that these expenditures might go up, it didn't happen. So that's our frustration. And there's other frustrations within the education system about failing to have vision and to plan around school places, around investment, about special needs places, about school transport, but the school buildings is a big one. So if we can have if this is a chink on the road or a bit of a knot in the system that can be unpicked, then fine. But for the 58 school communities who got these devastating letters, on top of all the other ones, like the principal you just spoke to and the principal I was speaking to this morning, it just feels as if these are two departments not talking to each other. And when you do get a school principal who's told by a department official to contact a TD...
Jennifer Whitmore,
obviously the system has just collapsed.
You could nearly, based on the amount of submissions that were made in the Dáil in response to Eoin O'Riordan's motion, that you could nearly identify all 58 based on every TD that was identifying the schools in their constituency. Is it the list that matters, or do you have any, you know, empathy or sympathy with the fact that, you know, that fact of the high cost inflation, you know, if you want to renovate your home at the moment or put on an extension, you might pause for a year or more given the high cost of inflation sector?
Look, I think everyone understands that there has been an increase in the cost of inflation, but what I would say, and actually what I said in the Dáil in that debate, is we need this not to be just a balance you know, an accounting exercise for the department, they need to be taking into account the stress and the cost of that stress to children, to parents, to the school communities, that when they're told that a project, a build was happening, and it's happening within my own constituency, I have two schools that are on that list, but I have four or five other schools that are whose temporary accommodation isn't being put in place. The stress that that is putting on parents is incredible. They don't know if they have places for their children for the coming September. The schools themselves don't know whether or not they will be able to take in children. I'm hearing now the schools are starting to restrict the numbers that are coming in September. So like that cost has to be taken into account by the department. And I think what we see oftentimes is that the impact on children isn't really one of their top considerations. You know, it is very much a monetary thing. We hear all the time that money isn't a problem for this government. We have a huge surplus. So I think it's really important that, yes, costs have gone up, but that should have been factored in. It should have been taken into account. And the planning department of the Department of Education should have, you know, had all that done in place. One of the schools, the Greystones Community College in Wicklow, they were actually meant to be breaking ground in quarter one this year. And in quarter two, they were told, or at the end of that quarter, they were told, actually, it's delayed. They've been told no idea when it's going to be lifted.
Minister James Brown, that is not the question. It's not the if, it's the when. These schools have been promised for so long that it's come on. The Taoiseach saying that it could be, you know, Easter, that we're going to be getting a little bit of headwind this. But you must, even in your own constituency, have a sense of the scale of the problem.
Yeah, look, and the first thing to say, these schools will progress, but at the moment it's the attempt is to establish when they can continue. Look, I'm the chair of a board of management of a primary school. We've over 200 students, we've five different landlords and temporary accommodation. So I certainly understand the pressures and the hard work done by boards of management, principals, teachers, who are all trying to do the very best for the students. But there is discussions ongoing between the minister and Minister Pascal Donoghue, who was very acutely aware of the situation and certainly wants to put something in place so we can advance these schools. But that's a negotiation and a review that's happening between the Department of Education and the Department of Public Expenditure Reform.
And is there a turf war there? Is there a turf war?
No, certainly not a turf war. But in any of these situations where you're talking about very, very large sums of money, and you have to remember that Minister Norma Foley has spent record funding in education, and in terms of, for example, reducing the classroom ratios, free school meals, free school books, that I know Aon has fought very hard for, and other areas as well. That I think, look, there has been significant reform and reform of the curriculum as well. This area, I mean, I suppose Minister Foley could be accused of something that many ministers sometimes are given out to for, is that which she has actually been driven forward with her implementation and gotten things done and actually spent the money that's been put in place, and she deserves credit for that.
It was notable, I thought, in the preamble to your motion that you gave huge credit in many respects to Nora Foley for some of the successes.
To Minister Foley, she didn't read out the script that had been handed to her, which called our motion a cynical attempt to mislead the dole. But anyway, she didn't read it out.
Well, speaking of cynicism, because there is a lot of criticism of the Department of Education, but looking at some of the issues, and it's perhaps the reason why your motion was so extensive, but looking at the extent of the issues that are facing that department, which, like all other departments, are also going to Minister Pascal O'Donoghue's door and looking for those funds and looking for that extra capital, does this not give you a sense of the scale of the challenges that that department, which is, I think, over the course of Project Ireland between 2021 and 25, it's a 4.4 billion euro investment, and that's not something to, you know, to dismiss?
No, I wouldn't. But I mean, at the same time, this is all about planning. Like a school principal who has to be on the phone or answering emails or chasing department officials or in a conversation with a department official that says, go talk to your TD, and then has to contact her TDs in relation to a school building program. That school principal is not leading learning in the classroom. It's not interfacing with the school community, with teachers, with parents, with children. They're under a pile of emails on paper trying to pursue a school building project, which should have been done by now. So again, it goes back to planning. The increase in the capital budget that should have happened last year didn't happen. And as a result, we have this list of schools. And then we have knock-on effects to other schools, like in my own constituency, Guelkill Ulster-Rockran, again, looking for a permanent school building, who are going to be affected by this because it all has a knock-on effect. So again, it comes down to, yes, there's an individual minister, but there's also a department which is resistant to forward planning and to vision. And I think between them and the Department of Public Accounts and Reform, we just need to calm the situation here now and give some assurances to those schools and to others who are needing a permanent building.
And hopefully
buildings.
Those 58 schools will find out soon what their fate is. It is just coming up to 1:40, and let's take a very quick break.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.